诉我们什么地方？
他怎么地方？他谈起来。
First of all, it is in Jerusalem. That is the church of God.
This
place is the church of God, the house of the living God. Today, it's a heavenly Jerusalem. That is why. Again and again, the Lord commanded his people not to worship him loosely in any place, but to go to the place which he has appointed, the place that God has chosen. Today, man does not have this concept. They have so many choices. Each one thinks that he can go anywhere. But the Bible is clear. We have to seek the place that God had chosen. It's not our choice. There were 12 tribes. And where should the temple be set up? If you lived in the north, I lived in the middle section, and he lives in the south. If we were to choose, which place would we choose? Close to us, of course. Why should it be close to you? It's better if it were close to me. And he would say, oh, close to him. And then we would start fighting. So there would be three places. One close to you, one close to me, and one close to him. Would that be good? Why won't that work? It's convenient. You have to be more practical. To save money. So you don't have to go so far. And you also have to carry your cattle and your sheep. So let's just have three places. Amen? Then you have to give me a reason why that will not work. Because of one city, one church. So there are so many localities, there should be so many churches. Because it has to be God's choice. You need to worship Him. Since you have to worship Him, then you have to do it according to His word. But today, each does it in his own way. You can choose anyone and that'll be fine. Especially, it's right next to your house. It wouldn't be very convenient for you to go there. Isn't that the case? Now, if it is not God's choice, what would you do? Nobody asked. How are you going to build the temple? We already mentioned, we people do not have the ability to build a heavenly temple. So it has to be according to God's will and God's specifications. Please remember, do not be presumptuous. God chose Jerusalem in the south. Whether you like it or not, you have to go there. You have to go there. Why? Because it's God's choice. Whatever He wants is what we have to do. It's not our choice.
So,
The place is determined. This Jerusalem shows that our God is one. But that is why the place of worship is only one and only place that He had chosen. You have to remember, its oneness is not the oneness between you and I, but that we would be one with Him. Otherwise, we create our own oneness. I'll be one with Brother Zhang. So what if you're one with Brother Zhang? If Brother Zhang is not one with him, and I just want to be one with Brother Zhang, there'll be trouble. Don't just shout, "Oh, we are one." You have to firstly ask, with whom are you one? This oneness is within the triune God. It's within the realm of life and spirit. It's within the realm of the truth. It's not what man sees as right in his own eyes. So you have to remember, the heavenly Jerusalem, who is the planner, who is the architect, and who is the builder of the new Jerusalem? Hebrews says it very clearly. It is God. That is why the burnt offering is very important. Which is a place? It's fine. It's Jerusalem. And what kind of offering should be brought there? Christ is our offering. There's so many offerings. You cannot go empty-handed. And how do you worship Him? You have to bring the offerings. And at what time? At the time of keeping the feast. Even the time is not what you desire. You say, it's not convenient for me. If it's not convenient to you, does that mean that God has to wait for your convenience? No such thing. It's not whether it's convenient for us, but it's the date that He has set. He has appointed. That is why the Israelites, for the Israelites, three times a year, all the males had to go to Jerusalem. This is what God appointed. And the feasts are at these times, because all the feasts are all included in the table, the Lord's table. This is for us to come remember Him. The Lord, this table is not for God. It's for us. That's why I draw it again. God is here up above. We, the church, are here below. Now the feast. It's what God prepared for us. I use the letter F. It's what God has prepared for us. This is also the also Jesus Christ. This is also Jesus. Jesus Christ was sent to be a feast for us. Now, after you finish enjoying him, we have to bring the offerings. It's what we have prepared to offer up to God. That's why this the feasts are what God sent down to us through Jesus Christ. This is the table. And after we finish enjoying Christ, after you have enjoyed and experienced Christ, it can be your offerings to be offered to God. This is very significant. It should not just come down from up there coming down, but nothing goes up from us to Him. For this heavenly ladder, there are two directions. Let's say if this elevator here in the building could only come down and not go up, if it were not going up and down in these few days, and tell me if it would keep coming down and nothing goes up from us to Him. It doesn't work like that. God's word does not say it like this. Actually, this concept has been with us a long time ago. Why do we need to worship the Father after the table? This concept is not new. But when we remember the Lord, what are we actually remembering? Remembering is not just thinking about Him. You really have to fully understand, experience, and enjoy Christ, all that He has accomplished. We already mentioned that. And then, to worship the Father doesn't mean to say, "Oh, Father, we worship Thee," and that's it. Poor Father. The worship that he gets is just a couple of hymns. We sing some hymns of worship to the Father. 1 minute. At most 2 minutes. Father, we worship You. Tell me. Is our Father satisfied? After you're done singing, it's done, and you go away, and then you go listen to a message. It's done, and you come back next week, and you sing the same hymns again. You do repeat this every week. Tell me, is the Father in heaven satisfied? Is that sufficient? You think about it yourself. Nobody brings any offerings. Nobody brings any offerings. You didn't bring anything. I didn't bring anything. Nobody brought anything. There's no meal offering.
There's no peace offering, no burnt offering, no sin offering.
Of what you have experienced, of what you have labored on to offer up to the Father. It's very convenient for us just to sing a few hymns. Do you need to prepare? If you sing a hymn, do you need to prepare? As long as you bring the book with you, that's good enough. If you have a hymn book, you can sing. It doesn't matter whether it's Christ or not. As long as you have the hymn book, you can sing. Tell me, am I too much to say this? What Father wants is the offering. It has to be very practical. It has to be your experience. You experience the humanity of Christ, then you can come and say, thank and praise your Father. This week I experienced Christ as my meal offering. And you have some reality to bring to Him. In the US and in the Europe, there are brothers who began. To write down the Christ that they had experienced during the week. And then they bring the best of the offerings to offer up to the Father. Now tell me, why do we still have to say it? Because one portion is for worship of the Father, and the other portion is for all the saints to enjoy together. The priests can all enjoy together. If you don't say it, how do people know? You may say, well, yes, the Father already knows. Of course he knows, but how about the meeting is not, the offerings are not in secret between you and the Father. And the Word of God says to bring the best part, the first fruits. He even commanded, you cannot eat it, the offerings anywhere, or bring the offerings anywhere else. How come you don't want to bring the offerings that the Father wants? He wants it. It's not I who wants it. And it's not you who wants it. But since this is the case, why don't we obey him?
Oh,
I don't see it like this. Then I have no way either. If you have your own views, then it's a big problem. Of course, if you want to have your own interpretation of the Bible, it's your own problem. It has nothing to do with me. Later on, you can explain it to him. My view is different from yours. You can go explain to him later. But today we have much to say. But on that day, you will be speechless. You will have nothing to say. That's why it has to be according to God. We have been keeping the Lord's table for 50 some years.
Mm-hmm. Yet I don't remember a single time where someone bring an offering to the Father. They all come empty-handed. We come to enjoy this table. This table is what God had prepared for you through Jesus Christ. Of course, it's reasonable that we say thank you, but we don't bring anything with us to worship Him. We have to offer up spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ, which is well-pleasing to God. It's what God wants. Only that can satisfy the Father's heart. So some people say, I can praise and worship the Father anytime, anywhere. It's okay. But whether or not the Father accepts it, it depends on Him, not us. You say, I can worship God as I drive. I can do it any time. That's our own concept. But maybe that's like God's concept. So then what should we do? Whom should we listen to? So even the times of worship are not determined by us. Thank and praise the Lord. So we all need to learn. First to remember the Lord, and after that to worship the Father. That is right. But how do you worship? You have to worship according to God's way. Now, if you do not prepare for the whole week, you do not labor, grasp every opportunity to experience Christ as all these offerings, what are you going to bring with you? That is why the Bible shows us that there's the good land. That is Christ as our good land. You have to labor on it. You have to plant. Then you have the harvest. You have to work on it to experience Christ. All these are necessary. Otherwise, where does your offering come from? Each week you're busy doing this and that. Whether you're busy or not, even while you're very busy, you can still experience Christ. You can experience the humanity of Christ. Right? In the church, in your family, you can experience Christ as our peace. Otherwise, you'll be fighting every day. Right? Christ is our peace. For this, you cannot live yourself. You have to prepare the offerings in all the different aspects. We who are older, already over 70, we don't have much time left. Really, sir? Actually, you young people, you don't have much time either because the Lord is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not fully living for God's will, what chance do you have? That is why we need to ask the Lord, Lord, in the days to come, I want to live fully according to your will. Don't you want to do this? Or are you retired and you don't want to do anything else? There's no retirement in experiencing Christ. There's no retirement. Perhaps the young people do not think that the time is getting shorter and shorter. I oftentimes tell the Lord, in the last few years, much more I want to follow you, to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. I don't want to be an old person who is in his dotage. There are many chances for us to grasp, to prepare the offerings, for us to become a true worshiper. We have to be like that. We all need to be like this. Otherwise, when the Lord comes, what are you going to do? We all need to meet the Lord. If we do not prepare, that's not wise. So I do hope that the brothers and sisters, when you go home, you go through these verses one by one in a good way. I discovered some mistake in the typing. Talking about the Lord's ascension. Regarding the keeping of the feast in Roman numeral 4. B. And number 4. B4. And the small a. The ascension of Christ. And enthronement. That's a wrong. No. The Chinese. That's wrong. It's concerning his ascension. So in order to enjoy the table, you have to remember that this table includes all the significance, all the meaning of the feast. If we do not understand and we not enter into the significance of all these feasts, and yet we come to enjoy the Lord's table, your enjoyment is very shallow. Besides, it's only objective, without the reality. Your praise is just that you praise the Lord for doing certain things for you. But whatever he did, does that have any effect on you? I only think of him having died for me. But Paul said, I died together with him. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Otherwise, I'm still living. He is he and I'm me. And the Lord would say, you came to remember my death. How come you have no sensation that you have died together with him? You still live yourself. It's not you who's living. It's not you, me living in you. Did I die for you in vain? Because the Lord Jesus died for us, not just to forgive us of our sins, but that he wanted to become a life, to live. And the end result, it's no longer you that live, but he lives. He already dealt with sin and the body of sin. But how come we still love to sin so much? As if the Lord was crucified just to forgive us of our sins. And that's it. That's why you see, we all need to enjoy him. Enjoy his ascension and his enthronement. Is he seated there all by himself? Just like what you said, that you're seated here and he's sitting up there. Paul said, we are seated together with Christ in the heavenlies. Besides, Colossians mentions that since we have died and resurrected, you have to seek things that are above, the heavenly things. That's Christ Jesus. Are you seeking heavenly things daily? Or are you seeking the earthly things every day? Tell me, what are you thinking about? You think so much about earthly things that you've forgotten the heavenly things. The whole day you're thinking about the earthly things, and then you come home and for half an hour you consider heavenly things. That is why we are remembering the Lord here, that he's enthroned in the heavens. But it's only on the Lord's Day here at the table. But from Monday to Saturday, you're thinking about all the earthly things, about yourself. That is why we remember the Lord just once a week. For half an hour. For half an hour. Many people even find it hard to come for that half an hour. So what are we remembering here? I'm not criticizing, but I want to remind you all, do not do the traditional way. In the end, when the meeting is over, you forget about the table. Some people even teach that your praises are wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you're saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You show no respect for the Lord's death. You have to weep and shed tears. Why is it that you weep here? And Monday through Saturday, you forget about him and you shed no tears? That's why man has many concepts. But you need the real enjoyment. Live it out. Experience him. It's only in this way that you would have the offering. That is why this feast is there to help you to enter into the experience. That is why there is a day of atonement that you have to afflict your soul. Meaning to say you need to deny yourself and not live your own self. It's only in this way that you can be fully reconciled to God. This feast coincides with the peace offering. The Lord Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, he needs to believe. Is that what he says? Deny himself? Oh, it's enough if he just believes. Why should you still deny yourself? To deny yourself is too troublesome. Whether you like it or not, do you want to follow him? Then you need to deny yourself. Right? Revelation 14, the first fruits are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. All these things need to become a reality as our offerings. Now the last point. Let's take a look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's read. Verse 15. Let's read it together. Therefore, by him let us first in Thai. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Many people use this verse to say, if we praise, that is worship. Is that the case? Here, Paul is citing Hosea chapter 4, verse 2. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Chapter 14, that's the last chapter, verse 2. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him. In Chinese they say pray to him. Actually it's added. It's just a say to him. Take the words and say to him. It says here. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. For we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. So literally, the bull calves. It says you will offer up the bull, the calves of our lips. That's the literal translation. Many times we may praise, but there's no bullock. Oftentimes we praise, we say a lot with our mouth, but there's no substance to it. There's no bullock. Why do we say this? Because in the New Testament, these are spiritual sacrifices. The spiritual things are invisible, but you can experience it. You have to experience this. Jesus Christ as a burnt offering, as this bullock, the Lamb of God. So you need to use the words to offer this sacrifice. If you don't need words to offer up, how are you going to offer it? You just close your mouth and just... How do you know what I'm offering up? God knows. Oh, who knows? Raise your hand. You have to use your words. Take words with you to describe what your offering is. Otherwise, who knows? You say, only God knows, and that's good enough. Who says? The problem is not whether or not God knows, but the question is whether you know what you're offering. Of course, God knows. He also knows that what you brought with you is nothing. He knows that too. But what we bring with us, is it a worship? Besides, we come to worship together with the saints. It's only so that the Father can get the glory. Isn't it so? May we all learn this gradually. This kind of practice cannot happen overnight. It needs practice. And you also need to allow the Holy Spirit within you, the anointing within you, to teach you daily. You also need to be familiar with God's Word. Meditate on it. The word in the Bible is very meaningful. For instance, the burnt offering. God says if you want to bring a bullock, it's so big. He knows. Not everyone can bring such an offering. That is why he said, if someone's burnt offering is of a bullock, of a bull, then it needs to be a free will offering. God does not force you to bring a bull. Because he knows. Not everyone can bring a big bull. That's fine if you cannot bring a big bull along. You can bring a sheep. A male sheep. If that doesn't work either, you can bring a goat. And even if that does not work, you can bring a what? You can bring a turtle dove. A very light one, very small. Now, tell me, isn't our God so reasonable? But if you think that, oh, the burnt offering is so small, how could I bring this? Again, it's you think. What would the others think of such a small offering? No, it doesn't matter what others think. No matter what other people may say, I did not bring it to man, especially a burnt offering. You have no right to laugh of the one who brings a turtle dove. Are you not afraid of the father who says, what are you laughing at? He already accepted, and you still dare to laugh? And you still to dare to criticize? People did not offer it to you. People brought offer it to the Father, and you dare to criticize that it's too small. You remember Mary? Who brought the flask of alabaster to anoint the feet of our Lord Jesus? And everybody was criticizing Mary. It's people who do not know. They criticize. So we all need to learn. Do not be afraid. Oh, this is such a small thing. It's a turtle dove. I bring this. As long as God accepts it, that's good enough. It's good enough if our Father accepts it. It's better than nothing. Now, if you begin with bringing a turtle dove, it's very possible that after a while you can bring a goat. And after 2 years, you may be bringing a bull. If you do not begin with something small, so it doesn't matter if you start small. It's okay if it's a small thing. Even the meal offering, some people just bring some fine flour. You don't need to spend so much time to go bake it or cook it. That's why you see God's requirements are like this.
One handful.
Besides, one handful is good enough. Does that not work? Everyone can bring something. Whether it's big or small. And then it will grow. The experience will grow. Once you have it, God will add to it. You think you have nothing at all. Even what you do not have, God will, what you have, God will take it away. That's why we all need to know this principle. Besides, all this is for worship of a Father. Right? Even the sin offering and the trespass offering, there is a difference between the big and the small offerings. We'll talk about those later, another time. So now I want to encourage you all to learn. Amen. Let's have some prayers.